You mentioned what your advice would be to Iraq and Afghan vets when they came back.
If you can't seem to get yourself together, go to the VA. Or if you're in the service, you can go to that service. But if you're not in the service anymore, go to the VA. You can get a lot of stuff there, including money and everything else, and medical care, and both sides, you know, mental and physical and all that. You'll meet people who are there too, and they've been in where you've been maybe, or someplace similar. It makes you feel like you're not alone anymore. Isolation is absolutely, nobody should be isolated. You've been in a war, such as the war that it is. You have help. You have people that are waiting here for you. You know, it may not be your family, but go and see, get yourself squared away. You're still alive, so it can't be too bad.
In veterans that come back, what are the symptoms that a family could keep an eye out for?
Drinking, of course. Drinking is or dope. I don't mention that because I never did any of that. But some people, they did a lot of it over in Vietnam, apparently. Our friends over there were feeding us dope, you know, while we were trying to win the war. But the thing is, just trying to drop out of everything. Whatever they're doing, if they're gonna drink so they don't have to think. Well, you know, if he's changed, you knew him when he was home. If he's changed, it's usually they're not happy-go-lucky when they have these things. They'll be downcast, drinking, all that kind of stuff. Lazy, just not wanting to do anything, not motivated. I guess it's to do anything. If that's not the way they were when they left, they need some help. Not the family. The family's help doesn't usually turn out to be real good. But it's just like I'm saying, buck up, grab, you know, you got to get going and all that stuff. They need to go see somebody who's trained to see what's going on.
So when these veterans come back, the main thing is to talk.
That's it. Talk. If they got troubles, physical troubles, they'll get those done, fixed, and all that, and the mental troubles and all that. The thing is, I tell people, if somebody in the VA doesn't tell you what you need to know, then go get somebody else. There are people that are not very good, and there are people that are real good. But just don't take one person's opinion if it doesn't sound good to you. Go find somebody else.
When you came back from Vietnam?
Coming back from Vietnam, and I was going to spend a little time in San Francisco. I was in uniform, and I was walking. And this one guy, he had this sign, and baby rapers or something, and he was giving it to me like that. And I told him, I said, you know, you've got two choices here. You can either get out of my way or peel your ass off that wall there. And the policeman who was standing there, he looked at the policeman, and the policeman looked at him and said, I'd move if I were you, buddy.
And how did your family react when you arrived back?
Well, they were really glad. My dad kept up with the war while I was over there and all that. My family was always very, very supportive of me.
And that was mainly because your father had experience.
Oh, yeah. He was in Korea in World War II.
So he knew where you were coming from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He didn't get overseas, but he knew what was going on. He did get overseas in Korea, but not in World War.
When you've been in an atmosphere of war and shooting, when you come back, do you have a tendency to want to revert to using force?
No. It's the last thing I ever wanted to do. You know, and that's why when they said, you may get another promotion if you go back to Vietnam, and I said, I don't care. I don't want to do that. I was in Germany when they gave me that thing.
They gave you the option of.
And yeah. And you'll get it all. Not me. I have guns in the house. I don't want to ever use them again, but I have them. I will defend, but I'm not. I just don't want to. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want. That doesn't register good with me.
I've asked you before if you still have memories of that time, or do they fade?
The fading of most of it, yeah. It's the events and who did what. And most of what I remembered now is the funny parts, when we were laughing about something like that. But the people who were killed in my unit and the people I killed, they'll never go away. They'll never go away.
They're part of your memories.
They're part of my memory, and I think it's permanent. Don't get me wrong, I'm not sad all the time about it or anything. I went over there to fight a war, and I found out what fighting a war meant, and I don't want to go do it anymore.
How do these young men who face more than one deployment, they stay in 15 months, they come back, and then they get sent again, and then they come home and they get sent again?
Well, we've got people in the armed forces that they love to do that. They like to deploy overseas where they know they can misbehave. They're running around with women and drinking a lot. They'll be drinking a lot. I don't know how they drink over there because the Middle East is no alcohol at all. You know, maybe they have it where they can get at it. I'm sure the Army has booze. Some of them will. I had a major. I met him at Georgia Tech when I was teaching ROTC there, and he came to teach ROTC. He had come from Vietnam, and he went back six more times. And he was married. I knew his wife and all that, but he just kept going over there and going over there. And I think it may have been he wanted to make general or something, but he never did. I thought that was crazy, is what I thought.
Would it be better than sending these guys back two and three and five times? Are they professional soldiers and they do the better job?
No, I think the draftees usually are the best soldiers. Not with the non-coms, of course, or the senior non-coms. I commanded three company-size units and one battalion-size. And each one of them, the soldiers who were drafted, did the best job. They would bitch, complain. I wish I'd taken down. If I could have got that, I should have written a book about how the stuff they'd say. You know, it was just funny as all get out. When it came to them doing the work, they did it. They knew they were going to be there and gone. Most of them just said, well, I'm here, I might as well do a good job. I think that we should have a conscription. I don't think we should be selective service anymore. I think we should be national service. One of the things I thought about is get the Marines, give them all these paratroopers and guys and special forces and put them all in the Marine Corps. Anytime we have one of these little things that we're going to go out and help somebody with, they send them. But I would think the rest of the conscriptees would only be going when there was a declared war.
If we had had the draft, do you think we'd still be in Afghanistan, in Iraq?
If we went in and tried that again, another Vietnam, I think whoever was in power would have been thrown out. The people whose kids were drafted, they wouldn't stand for that, I don't believe. The American people as a whole.
Because we have a professional army, there doesn't seem to be much a sense of general sacrifice for ordinary citizens.
No.
When you think about combat life, life in a combat zone, and life in civilian life, what's the difference?
Well, the thing is that I will tell you what it's like in combat. It is hours and hours of boredom, interrupted with abject terror for a few seconds. That's It's just something just happens, you know, wham, something starts going. And then the funny part was I was watching that movie, Saving Private Ryan, and that first thing when they hit Omaha Beach, and these people just running around, trying to do something. That's the way it is. You're not scared. You're running. You're shooting, maybe. But boy, when it's all over and you sit down and think of what might have happened to you, bud, you just want to fall apart. Yes.
And then you've got the hours to think about what happened.
Oh, yeah. You may pick out something, things I did. Well, I'm not going to do that again. You know, if I did something that didn't work out too well, I said, well, I won't do that again.
But it's not like in the movies. There's chaos. It's just chaos.
It's chaos. The people about Captain Down, Captain On Down, they're the ones that fight the wars. Every once in a while, you know, some battalion commanders, but not often. This guy's down at the bottom.
When the shooting starts, it's just...
And everybody for themselves, really. That's what it is. If you were the commanding officer, you're supposed to see what you could do about the thing. And sometimes I could, and sometimes I couldn't really make any sense out of anything, you know.
Everybody's just staying alive as best they can.
That's right. The people you're with, your platoon, your company, your squad, whatever it is, those are the people you work with, and those are the people you take care of. And a lot of people don't understand that. They're not fighting for whatever the big thing is. We're fighting to stay alive here, folks. And if we can do the thing that we need to do, we'll do it.
When Afghan and Iraq vets come back, do they feel like heroes?
Well, I think they probably do.
Because they survived.
I think they are. They survived. They went over there and they served, and they didn't run to Canada or some place like that and hide out. They went and did what they're supposed to do. Now, I think we ought to cut down on how much of that we send them to. That's what I'm saying. Big strategic force, and some people, that if we're going to go with the United Nations or something, or NATO or something, going into something, that's okay. Probably, maybe we could get the people who want to volunteer to go. You always get people who want to volunteer.
Do you ever offer your ear and your advice to young men?
Yeah, mainly if they ask. Come up and say, I'm having this and this. The Army... or the VA can handle that. And they can.
Well, thank you, John.
Okay.
It's been great. Thank you. Thank you so much.